I am joined now by Tony Lancaster, Chair of the Kingston Society. Tony, welcome. And could you start by telling us a bit about the Kingston Society and your role as Chair?
Yes, the Kingston Society was founded in 1962 as a direct result of a plan then to run the town relief road absolutely along by the river, where we currently enjoy all those very fine restaurants and our summer days. Had it not been for the Kingston Society, that now would have been a very fine drive past the river, with the river lost, in a sense, forever to the residents. So since then, the Society has concerned itself with civic matters to do with planning, but not only planning, culture and heritage. And it aims to act as an interface between the community and the council and the council officers.
Okay. And for those who haven't heard of the What If Project, which is what we're here to talk about today, how would you describe it in a sentence or two?
We've used the umbrella term What If as a catch-all to describe how there is always a possibility to do something else than what we're doing. And what happens if we stop a moment and say, hang on, what if we don't do this, we do that? So it's bringing together all the issues that concern the community in Kingston, from architecture to the many young designers working here, through to planning and placemaking, and which I should just identify for any of those people who don't know what placemaking is. It's not complicated, it's how do we make a place? What's important to a place? We all live in a place, we all absolutely know what's right and what's wrong about a place. So placemaking is just using all the resources we have to make a better version of a place. So the What If will ask a number of questions around the issues that concern all of us here in Kingston. So we'll talk about more of that more later. Grumble, mumble.
Amazing. And this is all part, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is all part of the London Design Festival. And it's the first time that Kingston's taking part in that. Why now, and what does it mean for the borough?
It's a direct reflection of the huge creative energy that exists in this town. You know, there are 6,500 people working in the creative industries. And we thought it was important that Kingston put itself on the map from that point of view. You know, we have excellent universities, excellent colleges here. People, you know, young people are the absolute literal bedrock of the future, and we need to acknowledge their contribution and to make sure that they're included. So the London Design Festival is a very broad church of interests. But we discovered that, for example, Kingston University, which took part in a small way, actually staged its exhibition up in the trendy eastern parts of London and didn't do it actually on their own doorstep. So we wanted to start to bring the Design Festival to Kingston just to raise the awareness of the importance of design and design contributors to how we do things in Kingston.
Okay. And I saw the word urban room used quite a lot, and that's something that I'd not really heard much of. So can you sort of explain the idea behind an urban room and what makes Kingston's take on it special?
The urban room idea goes back to a report of 2014 by an architect called Terry Farrell, who was asked to report on the process of architecture and its impact on planning. And in the end, he came to the conclusion that every city and town needed a place called an urban room where its past, its present, and its future could be on display to better engage people in not only understanding what planning is, but the impacts of what we did then on what we do now, and what we do now and how it will impact on the future. So it's a very flexible kind of concept. It can exist as a permanent installation. Cambridge and Newcastle have permanent urban rooms. Other places have pop-up ones. the Kingston Society staged a week-long pop-up urban room a couple of years ago when the local council was consulting on the local plan. And we believe that given that Kingston is a magnet for high-end developers and that it's a large and thriving town with excellent retail and lots of people like to come live here, that there should be a central place where we can gather and meet and look at those proposals.
And the installation is at the Penny School Gallery. What can people expect when they visit it?
I think they can expect the opportunity to find themselves asking questions. That's all we really want to do. You know, the title, What If, it's an invitation to for you to ask your own questions. What if every developer that came to Kingston made sure that everybody knew what was happening? What if planning was something that didn't, for many people, exist in no other form than perhaps a laminated notice they see on a lamppost? Despite the efforts of our officers to make planning accessible, it's a very complicated process. If you go to the planning portal and try and look at a large-scale development, you'll find that there's literally hundreds, 200 or 300 documents in PDF form, not collated, not together. It's very hard to navigate around a complicated planning application. Mm-hmm. When developers stage their consultations, they're very often constrained by time and opportunity. Not enough people are informed. The places where those consultations are staged might be obscure. It's generally an ineffective and uninformative process, so that what people might learn is that there are other ways to organize ourselves so that, you know, the intention of the developments of the town are better and clearer made to people who want to understand them.
Okay. And there's also a program of events. Could you tell us a bit more about that, or a few highlights?
Yeah, I mean, there's some very interesting talks going on. There's an astonishing amount of public art in Kingston. Almost anywhere you go, you're likely to trip over a monkey or some strange creature holding a hippopotamus in the air. And so there's a rich stream of public art. So we will be walking around the public art trail to find out what's here. And then later we'll be having a debate where we ask, what if Kingston had a public arts policy? I mean, part of what it does have a cultural strategy, but there's some interesting questions like, you know, where does public art come from? Who's responsible for it? What do we want from public art? Is it there to make us feel better, to make our place feel more beautiful? Almost certainly, yes. But do we have a clear policy in the town for what public art is and who's deciding? So we just wanted to open up that conversation so that we ask some good questions, especially in the light that the council is revisiting its cultural strategy for the years to come. We're also doing a historic walk through time. Kingston's a very old town. You know, here we are celebrating the 1100th anniversary of King Atherstone. So it's not surprising that some stuff has happened in that time. So there are a lot of interesting and ancient buildings that people may or may not know about. So this will be a walk through the history of Kingston. And perhaps down on the nerds list of historic interest, but there's the water that used to feed Hampton Court Palace in part came from a conduit called Coombe Conduit, quite a long way from Hampton Court, and it was conducted through a 3.5 mile pipeline, the route of which is still marked on ordnance survey maps today. And in fact, anecdotally, the first house I bought in Kingston, that pipeline ran beneath the house, beneath the cellar in my house. So it always felt like a very special place to be because of that. So that'll be an interesting walk following that pipeline. Other things that I think are worthy of note are we have got some projects from the interior design course at the university where they looked at the issues of regeneration. So they took the space above what was Bishop's Hall Palace, and which is unused despite all those restaurants beneath it, and they came up with some stunning ideas for how you might use a place like that. And one of our concerns is this young and vibrant energy tends to get lost. You know, those proposals make very fine final year dissertations, but actually they're very solid thinking, and it's a pity if that student endeavor is just simply that and doesn't form part of a conversation that we can all understand and learn from.
Mm-hmm. A big theme seems to be putting local people at the heart of planning. What would you say to people to encourage them to come, and why is this such a critical time for Kingston and its residents to be having that conversation?
I think a good reason to come is that you don't necessarily know how much good stuff goes on in Kingston. It's a very thriving community in many kinds of ways. It's not just a good retail place. It's not just a good place to get coffee or sit by the river. You know, there's a great many people who spend a lot of energy making and doing things to make the place wonderful. Sorry, what was the second part of your question?
Why would you say that now is an important time for Kingston and its residents to be having these sort of conversations?
There are enormous pressures on all towns, and Kingston, not in particular, but we have our share of pressures to do with our requirements to build thousands of houses in the next 10 years. There's all kinds of pressures on sustainability, infrastructure, the way we live. So there's an upcoming local plan, which we've had the first draft of, which we're hoping will move into the final draft before it goes to the authorities to approve next year. But that's looking at planning Kingston for the next 25 years. So, you know, that plan starts now, and it will be very important that as many people as possible understand the opportunities to contribute to how local decisions are made.
Brilliant. That was kind of the end of my questions, but do you have anything else you'd like to add or anything I might have missed?
Planners have to respond to a complex mix of forces. The Kingston Local Plan, the Mayor's London Plan, the National Planning Framework, the ever-changing government targets, the urgent realities of climate change, and the imperative to protect and enhance nature. All this comes at a pivotal time. This year marks the 1100th anniversary of King Atherstone's coronation. It's a moment to reflect on Kingston's past, its identity, and its future.